Hello and welcome to another edition of the LinuxInstall.net podcast. This is episode number 109, recorded on Tuesday, May 6th, 2014. Wagner is so old, he's 8-bit. On this week's episode, we talk about upgrading to Ubuntu 14.04, what we think about it, how great it is. And then we get into a discussion about whether or not it's worth it to upgrade your Garmin Nuvi to the latest version of the maps. Or should you just stick with an awesome Linux-powered Android phone and use Google Maps? But before we get to the podcast, we'd like to remind you to please go out and rate us on GPodder, iTunes, wherever you found our podcast, even on Stitcher, so that we know that you're out there listening to us, and that gives us our motivation to keep going. Because, hey, we don't put any ads in here. It's all ad-free. The only way we get any feedback is from you, so give us your feedback. Thanks. Now enjoy the show. Hey, guess what? We're live. I think, sort of. Are we?
Well, I see the live thing. I don't know why it's... Why every week you don't think we're live when it says live.
And he's playing a song.
So Brian's going retro tonight on LinuxInstall.net.
LinuxInstall.net on a Sega CD, ladies and gentlemen. The special edition. We recorded it. Now we're playing back on a Sega CD.
For everybody watching the Sega running podcast,
my video looks like absolute crap, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But my co-host convinced me that I should play the Sega CD soundtrack in the background because that's what I look like.
Yes. Brought to you by Sewer Shark.
All right. That's enough of that. Anyways, this is LinuxInstall.net. We are on episode 109, believe it or not.
Yes.
We're getting old.
Yeah. And I can't move my window now. Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, you're just...
You are just done tonight.
I think he's more out of it than I am. And I was away for a while.
Brian just needs to just keep talking and quit looking at the computer.
All right.
The computer's dead to you.
I can't see the damn screen.
He needs to just keep playing his Sega CD.
Anyways, my name is Brian Wagner. I'm the one with all the 8-bit issues. And with me tonight is also my co-host, Mr. Joseph Luzzi.
Hello, hello.
And Mr. Greg Martin.
That's right, I'm back from the dead. At least for now.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go last actually. So, Joe, what have you been up to with Linux this week?
Not much. Working my ass off is pretty much about it.
So, just a good old fashioned Linux support job day or week.
It has just been support after support after support and putting out a fire here and a fire there and doing tap dances and just having a lot of fun with different issues. I can pretty much say I don't really think I did too much at home this week.
Wow. And you're not even on call this week, are you?
No. It's just been a busy week. We had a lot of people on vacation, a lot of people off. I'm in a class the next couple of days. So
you need to get stuff done before you.
Yeah. There was just a lot to get done and just a lot of crap going on and patching servers and just having a whole hell of a lot of fun.
Cool.
And that has been about it. Greg, you're next.
I blasphemed again. I decided I wanted to try the newest Ubuntu for shits and giggles. And it's actually quite nice. I have to admit, it's quite nice. I like it a lot. The multi-monitor support is a lot better on it, too.
Does your wireless work?
Yes.
Does your video work?
Yes. Everything.
My other video works. Look, I just didn't test doing a Hangout, okay? Everything else video-wise works fine.
Actually, there were a couple moments when I was installing it where I thought I was playing a Sega CD. But I was... No. No, actually, I wanted to do it for a couple reasons. One, to try it because I believe it's the new LTS.
14.04 is the new LTS.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
So I wanted to do it for that, just to have it on the box for a while. But I also want to use it as the basis for my would-be talk. If I do get for that, I want to use it as the basis for that. Because as much as I'd like to use Fedora, I don't think the setup's the same basically, but there's a little bit more hoops you got to jump through on Fedora to get everything working. And I think people will find it a little easier to stomach if I explain it on Ubuntu, especially if it's to people who are coming from Windows. So I want to keep that as a familiar environment, at least until that point. And we'll see how it goes.
I see.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. Like I said, the setup's a little bit easier on Debian-based systems, but and as much as I'd like to do it with Fedora, there's just way too much work that needs done to get everything to a running state, and I'd spend more time, you know, trying to apologize for the eccentricities of Fedora that I'm used to that nobody else is. So it's kind of just trying to go with what's better for the herd, so to speak.
Cool.
But I am impressed. I do like it. It's there's a lot of visual things I do that they changed about it that you can customize without having to download a tweak tool, which is really nice. You know, the default wallpapers that changed, actually they look really good, and the larger display support is actually really nice. If I put this on my 1080p display, it scales really well and it looks phenomenal. And the font rendering is also really good at 1080p too. So I was very impressed by that.
1080p on a large screen, you mean?
Yeah, on a large screen. So it's, yeah, I have no complaints. I haven't had any really weird bugs pop up like normal. Like there's usually a problem with, I think tracker. There's usually a problem with that comes up after a while. You got to uninstall it and a bunch of other weird things. But no, everything's running really good so far. I'm happy with it. Shockingly.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever heard you ever say anything good about Ubuntu like that.
No, I usually have negative things to say about it, but this is the one. This is the one time where I actually have something positive to say about it, and I've had it on the system for about, I don't know, maybe a week after it came out. So it's been there for a bit. I'm starting to get that itchy phase there where I want to put Fedora back on there, but I'm kind of going through rehab, so I don't do that.
You ever thought about dual booting?
No, I hate dual booting. I did dual booting. I did dual booting for a really long time, and I have this really strange problem with my brain where I want to stick with one or the other when I see that bootloader, and I'm like, maybe I want to go into here. No, go into here. No, don't go into there. And yeah, that goes on for like 20 minutes. So we don't do that anymore.
Cool. So part of my reason, are you done? I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, Brian, I'm done. Go ahead. I, you know, Mr. Sega CD, I'm just going to eat my peanut here.
Yeah. Anyways. So the reason why I look like Sega CD this week is because at some point last week, I realized I was running on my spinning disk and not on my wonderful SSD inside my laptop. And to Ubuntu and Linux's credit, I really didn't notice the difference. it was so fast, it didn't really bug me that it wasn't, like, I didn't think I was missing anything compared to running Windows on an SSD versus not. And so when I realized that the disk that I kept seeing that I could mount but didn't was really my SSD, I decided, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to dual boot because I want to try one of the 1404 flavors. And I decided to try Ubuntu Studio because I have some video to edit from my trip down to Disney and just want to try it out. I haven't tried Ubuntu Studio in a while. Ubuntu Studio is XFCE based, but it's all Ubuntu stuff. I mean, it's created and maintained by Ubuntu, by Canonical. The Studio one, the difference between this is it has, as far as I can tell, almost every open source photo editing, graphic design type application, video production application, and audio production application installed, pre-installed for you with all the parts that it needs so that those applications will run without you having to go read any man pages. Just put it in and it works.
Obviously, well, all the ones that are worth a shit.
Okay.
For the most part.
I've just started playing around with some of them. I've wanted to play with some of these video editors for a while, so now I have that opportunity. Now, I have played with the video editors, and the video editors work fine. The video images come up fine. Like Greg said, I love the dual monitor support. I didn't have any problems with the previous one, but still works great. Looks good. Fonts look good, even though it's XFCE, which is pretty scaled back. It still comes with a lot. I mean, it still looks very polished. It looks very good. This video thing is obviously an issue. Ubuntu Studio installs and my wireless drivers work fine on Ubuntu Studio. And so I got everything working on Ubuntu Studio on the SSD. I'm like, cool. I'm going to go upgrade the other part, the other disk, and bring the other disk up to Ubuntu Linux Mint 16. So I go install Linux Mint 16. It seems to install fine. Then I disconnected from the network and I have no wireless drivers installed or configured at all. I'm like,
who needs wireless drivers?
Like, wait a minute. That's the first time in a long time that I have had an issue where Linux did not install, or that a Ubuntu derivative did not install the wireless drivers properly. So I started playing around with it, and I'm like, forget this. I just don't have any time, and the Ubuntu Studio stuff's working great, so I'll just stick with Ubuntu Studio. But because, of course, I have installed that over top of my previous install, I've lost a bunch of the configurations for the stuff that isn't a default install that I forgot that I use all the time, like the application to sync to Google Plus. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't that long. Getting all my virtual machines back up actually didn't take me hardly any time at all, but I had to reinstall the software and remember what I installed. So, yeah, other than this particular video issue, everything else was pretty easy and pretty quick to fix. But unlike the thing I like the most about doing Linux is, if you're smart enough, and I haven't always been, but I have been recently, to put your home directory on a different disk.
This is reminding me of an earlier conversation we had on a podcast where we talked about how big of an idiot I was.
Yeah.
About this stuff.
My home directory is on a separate partition that didn't get formatted or redone. It did get used, but I didn't format or anything. And it was great because every application that I installed, all of my configurations were still in my that are stored in my home directory were there. It worked. Like, it was kind of scary. I was installing stuff. I was like, oh, this couldn't have been keeping its configuration in my home directory. Magically, yes, it was. And it worked. Things like Dropbox, that worked. That, as soon as I installed it, that was fine. I didn't have to do any configuration to it. I just had to install it, and it started syncing again. I am still having a problem with CrashPlan. I can't figure out what the problem is. Java seems to be working okay, but it doesn't seem to run. And I'm going to try uninstalling and reinstalling it and see if that fixes it. And I have gone back. I did dump a list of, well, I use Etsykeeper to manage my Etsy directory. So I had backups of all my configs, and I can pull all these things back that are in Etsy. I haven't needed to pull anything back yet because, like I said, most of everything that I was using was storing it in my home directory. So when I booted up, it was fine. Sans the wireless driver on the Ubuntu or the Linux Mint 16 side. So I could pull back anything that I needed. But for some reason, there's something wrong with the Java that's installed right now. Now, I did just get a notice right before the podcast where there was, and of course I didn't do the updates, right before the podcast where it was like, hey, there's more packages to be reinstalled. And basically, it's the core stuff plus the kernel. There's a kernel update already, which, considering this is only, 3 weeks old, it's kind of funny that there's a kernel update already. So maybe that'll fix some things. I don't know.
That's strange.
Could CrashPlan have something to do with your firewall? Is the firewall enabled by default?
You know what? That's a good idea. I haven't checked that yet.
I mean, considering you said Dropbox worked, I was kind of hesitant to even say that, because to me, if it was the firewall was enabled, it would kind of block some of that stuff, and I would think it would block Dropbox as well. But I don't know how those are talking, considering they're different applications. So they may be talking differently.
I was actually going to say firewall.
Yeah. I could check right now, but I'm not going to. Now you guys got me thinking about it. I really should check.
Can't do it. What the hell?
This is the Linux show. Break your shit on air.
And let's do it. Let's have some fun.
You've got nothing to lose at this point, man. You've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
No, okay. Not at all.
Sony Digital Imaging.
Yeah. I can't type my password anymore either. Wow, there's a whole bunch of stuff blocked, but it doesn't look like there's anything outbound blocked.
No.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to try that after.
All right.
Because if it kicks, it's gonna kill my video, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that's now been updated that's gonna have to update. So yeah. So there was that. What else did I do this week? So because of that, I had to I had to polish up a few things, adapt some things because stuff has been updated. All little tiny things. Nothing. I don't think I did anything major.
So I wanted to bring this up. I wanted to know if you guys had ever tried this before. Upgrading Garmin's on Linux. Have you ever tried to do that before?
No, it was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. I agree with Brian.
Well, see, that was the thing. I tried to do it on Windows and it was a pain in the ass. So then I thought, okay, well, let's try it on Linux. And no, it doesn't work. Garmin doesn't provide support.
I was gonna say they're usually their updates, unless if it's a year after you bought their product, you're paying like buku bucks for some of the maps, and it's not even freaking worth it anymore with what you get on your phone.
Right. There was a package for Linux that I think it was a Debian package, like Garmin update or something like that. I guess it was in the repos too. But I installed it and it kept crashing everything for some reason. Like it just, I don't know why. I didn't see any errors with dpackage or anything else like that, but it always would crash when I'd fire up Inkscape for some reason, which was really bizarre. And I just never got it to work. And so long story short, my Garmin still has maps from like 14 years ago. And I just thought, hey, let's see if you guys tried it.
No, and the reason why I haven't done it since I did the maps update once on Windows, mm-hmm. and it was a bear to get it set up and working, and then I never updated it again and got rid of the laptop that I did that initial install on and just didn't want to do the upgrade again. A. B, to Joe's point, it's expensive to get map updates, and actually, I haven't checked recently, but the last time I checked, the map updates were actually more than a new Garmin with new features.
Really?
Like never expiring, never needing to update your maps again. That's a new feature for the Garmins, for most of them. So you can get new ones if you watch. If you watch for sales, you can get a new Garmin newbie for $100.
Well, see, then do they turn into commodity devices like these stupid printers? Where
they're trying to fight against my phone, which has continuously updated maps.
Yeah,
real time traffic data. And other stuff. I just can't get my wife to use her phone as her GPS.
When Kim and I went on vacation, I mean, we lived on the phone for GPS. One of our phones was always plugged in and always had GPS going.
That is the caveat. It always has to be plugged in.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it does kill the battery. But it was, you know what? We drove from here to New York, New York to Boston, Boston to Niagara, Niagara to Buffalo, Buffalo to home. We made one wrong turn where we basically got off the highway way too an exit too early in New York, and it basically looped us around the neighborhood, got us right back on, and right to our destination. No issues. That was we made one wrong turn the whole trip. That was it.
Now, see, when I was going down to North Carolina, there was a point down there where the GPS just stopped working, and I don't understand why. Like I was driving down, I forget where I was driving at, but I got to this point on this road where the GPS just freaked the fuck out. And all of a sudden I'm in the middle of nowhere and it's telling me to turn right into a cornfield. And I'm like, really? So then I pulled over and actually pulled out my phone and used Google Maps from there. But I have a little USB charger for the cigarette port. So I plugged it in that way. And on the way back, I was thinking, okay, well, let's use the Garmin again and see what happens. And got to that same point on that road and it did it again. And that's why I was wondering, well, maybe the maps are out of date. And that's why I tried to update it and it just wasn't having it. And that's the reason I didn't use my phone though either, was because my phone's a couple years old now. And it's been beat to shit and the battery is not the best. And as much as I like Google Maps, it just rapes my phone. And if I have it on GPS, it only lasts for maybe like 40 minutes, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, the new phone, the Moto X, because of the separate processors in there, actually does decently well. But I lose about 15% battery for every hour of maps. Well, actually, every hour of Waze. Now, I think that's probably more than if I just went with normal maps,
mm-hmm.
because Waze does all kinds of checking to see if there are people on the side of the road, if you know whatever's coming up in front of you, were there accidents, do they need to reroute you, which are all the benefits to using Waze is it will determine that your route is not the most optimum route and then try to reroute you based on congestion or accidents, et cetera, which is cool when I'm going into downtown Cleveland because, you know,
there's an accident every 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, and you don't know. Like, I can watch the news, and the route I'm supposed to be going is green on all the traffic maps, but I can get in the car and get 5 minutes up the road, and hey, guess what? There was an accident in that 5 minutes, so now that's not the optimal way. And it was interesting, the one place I was going in Cleveland, there were probably three different ways I could go, all about the same amount of time, and it really did switch me depending on the traffic for every day. So I had to like actually pay attention to the map, not just use it to tell me there was cops ahead. But I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be why I was using Waze, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
But maps-wise, yeah, you got to plug it in, first of all, to Joe's point. And I don't know if I'm going to buy another one. I mean, I would love to buy a Tesla, which has Google Maps built in.
Well, see, yeah, that was the thing.
Of course.
Monitor.
Yeah, that was the thing, though. It's like if I ever buy another GPS, it's got to be maps integrated, you know, and not fucking Garmin.
It's going to be but see, right now, none of them are selling Google Maps. Their maps data is what they've been paying for years, and they probably still haven't paid off the initial investment because they figured this business would last forever. They didn't see phones coming in as the next GPS, right?
Well, true. I mean, and realistically, these GPS, the physical GPS devices aren't really much more than a glorified, you know, Sansui tablet from China, most cases. Or they feel like it. So,
yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's something to be said for a dedicated GPS, I guess, but...
Yeah, but if I don't know, I guess this kind of goes back to the traditional argument of, you know, open your shit up to all platforms. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I kind of think it comes down to just like the whole iPods, you know, iPods and everything were so popular years ago. And nowadays, how many people do you really see walking around with iPods and everybody has everything on their phones?
Right. iPods are a rounding error in Apple's reports now.
Around
here. I mean it's just
well it is. I mean it's sad to say that, you know, here's the thing that took Apple back from the brink, right? The iPod took Apple back from the brink of going bankrupt and brought it back into the mainstream, right? That was the first, you know, what was it? It was ridiculously small. It was like 100 songs in your pocket or 1,000 songs in your pocket was the first thing, was the first tagline for the iPod. That's how old it is.
Right.
And I still have friends that like a dedicated music player. They're part of the whatever 2 million people that bought or 2 million devices that were sold last year for iPods. But that's not a lot in Apple's world. I would love to have a device I sold 2 million of. You know, when you compare that to 2 million a day for the phones, it's not much.
That still blows my mind. 2 million a day for that kind of issue. That's crazy.
When you add up all the phones that are supposed to be being sold, and not that I really doubt them, but when you add up all those phones, like how many phones is everybody buying?
Well, that's what I'm trying to think. Like 2 million phones a day, and then you compare that to how many people there are on the planet, or how many people? Well, even more realistically, like how many people are in your market? I mean, if at that rate, you'd probably sell to everybody in your market within like a month, or less than that. So who the fuck's buying the phones?
I don't know.
I'm not.
Somebody is.
Joe is. No, Walt is. Walt's got them all stashed in his basement.
Probably, yes. It's probably Walt.
He's got he's got like a – he's got an array. Like that light that he had on that screen that was actually like 6 iPhones on a white
background. Oh, it probably was. I wouldn't put it past him. That's what it was. There are 313.9 million people in the U.S. So at 2 million a day, that's not even – a year? I mean, that's not even half a year, is it? No, it's not even half a year.
Yeah, but that's just U.S. You got to be looking worldwide.
But I know, but I'm just saying.
Phones just don't sell in the U.S.
I know. U.S. is the only country that matters, Joe.
But they're not selling iPhones in India to people who are making $50 a month.
No, but they're also talking about all the Android phones, flip phones, all everything. I mean, so there's just a lot of devices out there.
No, I'm pretty sure the 2 million is iPhones alone.
Oh, real? Oh, that was an iPhone number.
Yeah, because
I didn't realize that.
Android phones, they were activating at one point 4+ million phones a day.
Oh, wow.
And that made a little more sense to your point.
I didn't realize it really called that out yet.
Yeah, that makes sense because of your point on the you can get a really cheap Android phone.
Right.
Well, with the Android stuff too, especially if you're a developer, you've got like 7 or 8 of these physical devices. You know what I mean?
Okay, but there aren't that many developers.
What are you trying to say?
I know you'd like to think there's a lot of you in the world and you all, you know.
Have you looked at the Play Store lately?
Yeah. Well, we're not even talking about good developers, which is a much smaller percentage of the total pool of developers. So
they keep opening up random stores though. I got an email the other day from this. I guess there's these web services that kind of like scrape Google Play for like app directories, I guess you want to call them. And I keep getting emails. Like one of them I got was from a site called WeCreatedIt.com. And basically it's a sleeker like web 2.0 app directory for the Google Play Store. And
you find an app you want, you click on it and then it takes you to the app store?
Yeah, it has a link to the place. It has a link to the Play page. So like for example, the email I got was for the app I made a couple years ago. And it shows like a really nice web 2.0 layout description of my app and has, you know, screenshots that are actually based inside of a phone image, that sort of thing. And there's a link to the Play Store for that app on the site.
Now, did you have uploads of screen captures of your app or did they have to create them?
No, you are actually... I think back then you were required to do it. I don't remember how that works now, but I think you are required to have at least 2 screen caps of your app on the Play Store.
Well, Brian, what was the app we used a couple of years ago? AppBrain, was it?
Yeah.
Remember when we were using? I don't use that anymore. I don't know if you do anymore.
No, I stopped using. Everybody I know stopped using it. As far as I can tell.
I've never used them.
That was the same thing.
Yeah, it was the same thing.
That was one of the early ones. It was what was neat about that was, yeah. Well, what was neat about it was you could, you know, they tried to do the whole social thing on there, so you could have friends on there and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And it was cool because you could see what your friends were installing, and if they were using something cool, you weren't. You know, you can go there, hey, give me that, and it would take you out to it, and you can download and stuff like that. So that was kind of an interesting aspect to it, but it wasn't something I really needed to do. I mean, I kind of know what's out there nowadays, and I know what I want on my phone.
Well, then my other problem was everybody kept doing the free app a day things, so I would get recommendations constantly. You should try this app because 4 of your friends tried this app, and it's like, no, 4 of my friends bought it because it was free, and I already looked at it, and I don't want it. So, you know.
But. Yeah, I think the first time that happened to me, I kind of got a little miffed because I felt like I didn't really understand what it was because it was for a different site. This has happened 3 or 4 times. The first time it happened was like 4 months after I released the app. And I saw that and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Wait. I didn't give you permission to put my app's information on your site. Why are you doing that? And then I kind of realized, well, it's not necessarily a bad thing. So now,
were they stealing your comments and reviews away so you couldn't have to go there to see them?
No. It was basically the same thing as what We Created It is, where it's basically just a glorified relisting, but it doesn't scrape comments or, you know, mitigate sales or anything else like that. It goes directly back to the Play page,
I was thinking that too, what the business model is.
I wonder what the business model is for that thing.
I really don't know. I've never ever relied on those things for, you know, explicit marketing or anything else like that. Like I'm not going out there and saying, hey, you know, here's my app. It's on WeCreatedIt.com. Go there and check it out. You know what I mean?
Which we've now given them all kinds of.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's exactly what.
We gave them what they wanted.
Yeah. Fuckers. I've always given direct play links to the app. So, which is interesting. I still can't believe even to this day, I still get mentions for it, and it's a piece of shit.
Which app is it?
Oh God, I believe I called it the Shopper.
Oh, I think I purchased that on
the Shocker. Yes.
No,
I am an owner actually of the Shopper.
Somebody did. No, that was like
me and like what 3 of my friends.
That was like the worst fucking thing ever.
Yeah, this is nicer than I like the fake hand.
Thanks.
With the generic
Oh, that's not a pecan. That's your actually. You actually took. Wow, I thought that was what they did. Very interesting. I don't see any advertising, so I really don't know what their business model is. I wonder how they're making money. Oh well, not my problem. So, anything else exciting happened this week, guys? Because that about does it for us this week.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Quick, easy one.
Quick, easy. We're out of here.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Doesn't have the same meaning when it's talking about a guy, just so you know.
I wasn't talking about guys. I was talking about my Sega CD, Brian.
There you go. Hopefully next week I will be back in high definition. We'll see. Maybe. I may have to switch cameras. That'll be interesting. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We're at Linux Install. We have a great and very vibrant Google Plus community over there. If you look for linuxinstall.net on the Google Plus, you will find us there. And of course, go out to wherever you find podcasts and rate us, because that's the greatest way you can help us. That's better than, okay, it's not really better than cash, but it helps us more than cash would at this point. So go on out there and give us a 5-star review. If you want to catch up with Greg and Joe at what else they're doing, they're over at What I'm Playing Now. And if you want to see what else I'm doing DevOpsMastery.com. I'm writing blog posts out there, and I am doing another podcast over there with a friend of mine called Jason. We're talking about all things DevOps and how to get started and all that good stuff. And the guys are on What I'm Playing Now. That's a gaming show, right? Is that an accurate?
That is correct, sir.
So what should everybody go do, Joe?
Go and install some Linux. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Pour aluminum in ant holes.
Okay. That's weird. Bye, everybody.
This has been a production of LinuxInstall.net. All original content produced in this podcast is released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. Please feel free to redistribute it to your friends.